The Cry of the Go-Away Bird, written by Andrea Eames and read by Claire Corbett.
Prologue.
Where is it?
How should I know?
You said you knew. I said I thought it would be a good place to find one.
The place at the bottom of the garden, over a small hill where almost nothing grew. Only a straggly acacia tree with white thorns and a few tufts of khaki grass. An old rusted tap dripped red water into a small pool fringed with weed and dotted with water boatmen. Insects with long, oar-like legs had rowed in jerky strides across the surface. Away from human eyes. Quiet. Near water. The perfect place for a tokolosh.
Maybe we have to wait till night time.
I flopped down in the one scraggy patch of shade that had escaped the glaring sun. It was a hot, humming afternoon, alive with bees and flies, scented with honey and grass seeds. My cousin Henny sat on the ground next to me. He looked a bit like a tokolosh himself, small and brown, with white hair like a dandelion clock, and feet that were even harder and dirtier than my own. We had competitions where we compared bruises, cuts, blisters and calluses, and Henny nearly always won.
"I'm not waiting here all day," he said.
"It'll only be a couple of hours."
"Where's the food?"
I had liberated 5 Marie biscuits from the pantry, a little soggy but still edible, as well as a torch, a map and an apple for the tokolosh. I did not know what they ate, although I had an uncomfortable feeling that it might be children. But I thought an apple might serve as good bait or a helpful distraction. My nanny, Beauty, had often told me the story of the tokolosh she saw when she was a little girl. One day, when she went to the pump to get water for washing, as she did every day, there was a childlike figure standing there. When it turned around, she saw that it had the face of an old, old man. No eyes, just sockets, scarred and burnt, as if someone had gouged them out.
"I was very afraid," said Beauty. "But I needed water. It stood there watching me. I thought that perhaps it wanted to drink, but did not know how to work the pump. It stepped back and let me pump some water into my bucket. And when I had finished, it grabbed my bucket with its monkey hands and took a drink. Then it ran away."
I had caught glimpses of what could be tokoloshes now and then, but never close enough to tell for sure. I wanted to see one for myself, up close. My cat Archie materialized as soon as he heard the packet of biscuits crinkling. I pulled one out and divided it carefully into 3. Archie swallowed his piece in 1 gulp. Henny also finished his quickly. I had a special method that involved eating all around the edge again and again until it was gone, and so mine took longer. By the time I had finished, my 2 followers were drooping again.
"I want some juice."
"I didn't bring any juice."
"I'm going back to the kitchen."
Henny stood up. I grabbed his hand to stop him.
"You can't."
Archie strode over to the kitchen and collapsed on the cool concrete steps outside. A startled lizard shot off the steps and up the wall. Henny seemed to resign himself.
"Okay, what do we do now?"
I was not really sure. I had a vague plan of using a stick as a spear and creeping through the undergrowth, but the only sticks were thorny ones and there was no real undergrowth. Only a few patches of brittle grass. It was the sneaky kind that drew its blade along the back of your knees and left red welts.
"We wait," I said with finality.
Henny looked unimpressed.
"Can we eat the rest of the biscuits?"
I thought about it.
"I suppose so."
We divided up the biscuits and ate. Then we sat looking at the acacia tree and listening to the slow plonk, plonk of the rusty tap dripping into the puddle. Henny started to get grumpy. He got up.
"I'm going home."
"You can't go home. We haven't found the tokolosh yet."